It is wonderful to be here this morning. I am delighted to come and be in worship with you again. And at one point, we weren't sure. We were keeping an eye on the weather, but I think it all went north. But I know lots of people weren't always, were not as lucky with that. So this scripture, there is a lot packed into these 15 verses. I'm generally drawn to the letters, and this is one of those letters. I'm not completely sure why. I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Paul, as I think many people do. Sometimes he has really good things to say. Some things just leave me baffled. Now, Hebrews is one that scholars say Paul may or may not have actually written, and we may not actually know the author. But we can call it Paul for now, since that's what we assume. Now, we say it's a letter, but it's not like a letter that we think of today. Paul probably didn't sit down at a desk and write down with a pen and paper and then put it in an envelope and with a stamp and mail it at the post office. It didn't likely happen like that. But you probably know this. But I kind of think it's a good reminder of kind of the process that some of these letters were likely written. I say likely because, let's be honest, it was 2,000 years ago. Nobody's made it this long, so we really don't know 100%. But a lot of scholars, people that have done a lot more reading than I have, know a little bit more about it and can presume things and can learn things about it that we may not all know. First of all, Paul likely said these the words out loud, and a scribe wrote them down. Someone else wrote it for him, which is lovely. I wish we all had one like something like that. But we can maybe, I don't want to say guess or presume, but you know, the scribe possibly could have taken some own liberties of their own. Maybe wrote a different word, maybe missed something in the process. And then, of course, it was translated multiple times. So maybe word for word what we read today isn't exactly what Paul would have said, but the general gist we get and the general idea is the same. Also, the delivery of this letter. We know it didn't go to the post office 2,000 years ago, but it also is more likely that Paul went out or someone went out and just shared the message. It wasn't actually a letter that was read, but it was more of a performance that they kind of give. That's what we know of at that time. Also, Hebrews is slightly different, where it didn't go to a specific country to deliver. Kind of like in Romans, there was a letter sent to Rome. Corinthians, there was a letter sent to Corinth. This is Hebrews, so it was a group of people. Most likely, it was a letter or a message that was sent to Jewish people at that time. So this message might be a little bit different than the intended, maybe, maybe not, but some of it, it's okay because, you know, it's 2,000 years later. We don't have the same kind of communication style that they had 2,000 years ago. It's a lot easier. We can pick up a phone and we can call halfway across the world and talk to somebody almost instantaneously. We can turn on a TV and we can look at news that of something that happened just a few minutes ago. And we immediately have that information if we want it. And that obviously has not always been the case. It may not be the exact same words, but the message is the same. It never will be. And how we interpret this information from 2,000 years ago, people would interpret it as a little bit different. And that's okay. We need to be applicable to us today. But even if the words are not completely the same, they are still good words. There is good information and a good message. These are words that we can still live by and read through and tell stories and then retell these stories. The beginning of this scripture describes a summary of the effects of Christ's sacrifice. The language is familiar and alludes to Psalm 110, which I kind of love. I really love when something in the New Testament references something in the Old Testament. It kind of just reminds us that, you know, this might be old stuff, but it was all kind of put together well, and it was just the way it was gathered, the way it was connected, it just means a little bit more. Then there's a reference to the enemies and points to Christ's mission. The most important inference is to be drawn from the sacrifice that relates to what has already been accomplished, this perfection, as it states in the scripture, of those who are being sanctified. Perfection here refers to the cleansing of the conscience, the qualification that makes them fit to worship in truth. The second half of the scripture, the author begins to draw different implications. The initial comment restates itself. It states, a new and living way. A new and living way through the curtain. Looking through the curtain here, we might not understand what it's saying. I still think it's a little weirdly worded. It says, looking through the curtain here is equated to Christ's flesh. I don't love the way this plays out in scripture, but I think we can find middle ground with it. It's saying the skin is barring access for us to see the inner workings, more clear access to God. But once Jesus is on the cross, that is opened up and we can see more. Now I said it and we can just move on from it because it's kind of just, maybe it's just me. It's not my favorite line. But I also didn't really want to completely ignore it, even if it's oddly written. The better language, in my opinion anyway, and one of the reasons that I chose the scripture, highlights the cardinal virtues of faith, hope, and love. I think we can probably agree that those are good words to live by. It makes a more specific recommendation to take baptism a little more seriously. Reminds us, remember our baptism. My favorite wording is when it says a true heart. And provoke one another to love and good deeds. Encourage one another to do good. Encourage one another to love. A true heart. It reminds me of another line from Paul's letters to the Romans that I distinctly like. I think it's Romans 12. It says, let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. I think adding a little bit more description to love just adds a little more meaning to it, even though we talk about love all the time in the Bible. It wasn't until the last few days in preparing this for today that I realized it is kind of perfect for right before Thanksgiving. I imagine this holiday can bring up a variety of emotions for many of us. Maybe some family live far away and you can't get together. Maybe you're currently not getting along with someone. Maybe you can't cook the entire meal like you used to. Or maybe you just don't want to. Maybe you're surrounded by so many people that it gets a little overwhelming, or there's so few people that it feels a little lonely. No matter what it is, I hope it is a good Thanksgiving for everyone. I really love Thanksgiving. I think it's one of my favorite holidays, but more than just because of the turkey. I love that everyone gathers to eat. Lots of people, we've had a variety of what Thanksgiving means in our house, I think. But I love whatever gathering it is together that we're gathered together. To veg, to play games, to watch babies, to watch the lights get turned on on the plaza. Maybe start planning for Christmas. But I like Thanksgiving because there's less stress. You don't have to worry about Christmas presents, things getting wrapped, spending more money, and you get turkey. You get turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, maybe black olives or pies. I said black olives this morning and someone visibly cringed. I will admit it's either a love-hate thing with most people. That's okay. I don't really like green beans no matter what you do to them, so we can just meet in middle ground and be good with it. I don't care if other people like it. I'm sure everyone has their own favorite food or some kind of quirk or some kind of special tradition at Thanksgiving? A favorite food, a favorite memory? One of our, in growing up, when I was younger, our traditions, I guess, we have this dressing recipe, stuffing, dressing, whatever you want to call it. It's the same thing, right? And there's one ingredient in there that you can only get on the East Coast, or most of it's on the East Coast, because my dad is from Connecticut. So we don't always, it's kind of hard to get the seasoning. But it goes in the stuffing. It has nothing to do with oysters, don't worry, because that sounds just horrifying to me. But it's not really Thanksgiving until the dressing is in the green bowl. Now, I don't think we use the green bowl for anything else other than the stuffing on Thanksgiving Day, but we've got it. It's always on hand, and believe it or not, it's pretty ugly. And my sister and I are now kind of fighting over who's gonna get it. There was one Thanksgiving that my mom didn't put it in the green bowl. It went in something I know. That's what we said. She put, I think we needed more, and so she needed a bigger something to put it in, and put it in like a clear Pyrex dish, which was just wrong. So it's one of our family's little quirks of tradition. And Thanksgiving is a little bit special for my personal family, my husband and I, because our first Thanksgiving together was when I met his family for the first time. And I do sometimes remind him that when he met my family, we went out to dinner for like an hour, hour and a half, and then we all went our separate ways. When I met his family for Thanksgiving, I was there for 5 days, staying with them, which brings its own, you know, special quirks. We'll just leave it at that. I think one of my favorite parts growing up, though, is always having extra guests. We generally had some kind of extra guests, whether they were with our blood family or just friends or someone that we just knew didn't have a place to go on Thanksgiving Day. They came over and they had our dressing out of the green bowl and all the other traditions, normal stuff. I feel like we didn't have anything that weird. And I know, I think lots of people have things that just, it means that it's Thanksgiving now. It means that it's getting ready to be the Christmas season. Maybe you have a certain movie that you watch, or you can start decorating. Because if you've already decorated, I just don't completely understand you. Maybe you watch the plaza lights getting turned on, or go down there to when they get turned on. I think that is one of the more special things. But people outside of the city don't get it. I said that this morning too, and I got lots of nods. I don't think people outside of Kansas City understand when the plaza lights get turned on, that's when it's the holidays. You go down, maybe get a cherry limeade at Winstead's or Topsy's, maybe some popcorn. We don't even really get out and shop that often because, well, it's cold. But just being there, seeing the lights, it's kind of a nostalgia. And it's just kind of fun. I'm sure we all have lots of stories. Maybe you don't even know that you do something weird on Thanksgiving, and that's okay. I have seen several things, and then I realized that we're a little bit of a black olive family. We have entirely too many at one family gathering, and that's okay. It's our little thing. The holidays are sometimes hard, but even if these days bring a little sadness, share about difficult family dynamics, uncomfortable people are around, whatever the case may be, I hope that this scripture can speak to you and that these words offer encouragement to one another to have a true heart, to let love be genuine, to live like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to have unwavering hope for love and good deeds. A true heart might be easier, might be harder this time of year. But I think these words from Paul, these words are offering the goal. It's what we strive for as Christians, as good people, as a community of faith, as this community of love. Will you pray with me? Loving, gracious God, we give thanks for our traditions, for these words in Scripture that remind us to have a true heart, to let love be genuine, to having hope and peace surrounding us, to be examples of these virtues, or at least hope, try to strive for. Be with us, encourage us, love us in all of these times. And everything we pray.